Hi, hello, and welcome. This is the Zonecast, where we interview emerging professionals, entrepreneurs, and academics. And today we have with us on the show Ben Hawley. He is the president of Evolve Builders. Hi, Ben. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Salman. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I want to start by talking about your story. Can you share your professional and personal background?
Well, I suppose it's a bit varied. As a kid, I had been really quite interested in architecture. And so I sketched homes that I could imagine eventually living in. And I was really deeply interested in all things building, construction, design. So my parents, in an effort to support that interest, they were avid garage salers, and what they found for me at many of those sales were old copies of Popular Mechanics and other magazines of that nature. And this harkens back, they were buying older copies, so that means that they were in the early 70s. And if anybody were to take a look at the typical cover story of magazines of that type in that era, there was definitely an interesting parallel to today. There was a preponderance towards energy efficiency construction, energy efficient construction, So there was also a real interest in yet a niche market for underground homes. So that was actually my initial major interest. But in the midst of that, my own childhood home burned down while my family and I were in it. And while we got out safely, that's certainly something that sticks with you. And so that layered onto my interest in what was important in a house. That being in that case that I was looking for something that was safe for the occupants, as well as warm, comfortable, and energy efficient. So if I fast forward a number of years, as it turned out, I didn't academically pursue architecture. I actually was in economics and then switched and finished in geography, urban planning, before moving from the Ottawa Valley to Guelph, where I now reside, and ended up working in none of the above, effectively working in a energy-related but tech industry. And as a good Guelphite, I attended the Hillside Festival, which, if you've been to that, you'll know that in addition to music, there are also independent talks on a variety of sustainable living ideas. And there was a local high school teacher who had done a talk on straw bale building. And that talk reminded me that I had known about straw bale building from back when I was interested in these non-traditional buildings from the 70s. And before I must have blathered about that endlessly to friends of mine, because one of them then bought me a book on straw bale building for Christmas that year. And before I was finished reading it, I decided that somehow I had allowed myself over those intervening decades to drift from my childhood interests, the things that really motivated me, and that I was determined now to change course and learn how to build straw bale homes, with an idea to build one for myself and an expectation that there would be somebody out there to which I'd be able to apply my now earned business management experience from this tech industry, and find a way to eke out a living doing so. And that was the genesis of what was then called Harvest Homes, which is still a division of current Evolve Builders Group.
So now, can you talk more about Evolve Builders? When was it founded? How many homes have you built? And perhaps you can talk more about what is a straw bale home?
Sure. So the initial business was a sole proprietorship, Harvest Homes, and our service offering, our main target market, was building exterior walls for homeowners who were behaving as their own general contractor or their own project manager. And they were doing so because there was nobody yet at that point, like the current Evolve Builders Group, that was able to integrate something as unconventional as a set of straw bale walls, which, yes, I'd be happy to describe what that means. There was nobody who could integrate those and allow for a typical homeowner to just point one finger and have somebody take care of all of those activities. So we got our start then, that would have been in 2000, building straw bale walls. And what we found was that our homeowner clients were often interested in more than just straw bale walls. They were interested in other potentially non-conventional items, which meant, and we were often the only contractor on site that had similar inclinations, that had similar values to our clients. And what it meant to me from a business perspective was that it was revealing to me what the market, our market, was interested in. So what I was able to do in those circumstances was often arrange with our client to learn how to do whatever this additional activity was that they were seeking, whatever additional method or material was that they wanted into their home. Sometimes it meant we became the stockists of specialized materials, the only ones potentially carrying them in Canada or this part of Canada. Sometimes it meant training in something, some specific physical activity. But what I would do is work out an arrangement where the owner didn't pay for our time to learn. They paid a reasonable rate for our actual work of implementation. And what I, of course, got out of it was I didn't need to be spending money on market research, because my market, my clients, were telling me there's a gap in the market and we were getting paid effectively to learn how to fill it. So what that meant was that we started to grow a breadth of services, mostly non-conventional and somewhat niche in matter, but grew a breadth of methods and services beyond just straw bale, such that effectively we had come to the point where we realized we were turning over complete homes. And at that point, we made the business decision to restructure and change the brand so that Evolve, which emerged at that time, would become the new parent that was building method agnostic. It didn't matter to us whether it was a straw bale wall or whether it was something altogether different, that, so long as it met our basic values and intentions of high efficiency, human health, or use of locally available materials. And reverted Harvest Homes as effectively a brand, but a division that returned to just delivering the exterior wall systems again. At the same time, we launched another division called Fermata, Works of Earth, which tended to things that were really specific and earthen in their basis. So that would include things like clay veneers or rammed earth or adobe block. In a typical urban context for anybody that isn't building a specialized home, it also includes things like outdoor earthen pizza ovens, which are becoming increasingly popular as we're all forced to stay home in our yards. And that happened, all that growth or that change, I suppose, happened in 2006. That was the launch of Evolve Builders Group with these other two now sibling divisions, and to sort of accelerate the timeline from then till now. So the business of Harvest Homes started as with me as a sole proprietor. By 2006, there were about seven of us, and today there are around 25 of us working full time.
Mm-hmm. So I want to learn more about the benefits of a straw bale house. And I guess one thing that you were mentioning earlier is one of your motivations was fire safety. So perhaps you can talk about, the benefits of a straw bale home, and if you can educate us on that.
Yeah. Well, when we first started building in with straw, the primary interest in our clients, from our clients, there might have been two. One was, it was viewed as a method of construction that was more accessible to a layperson. That is, it was more forgiving because if the dimensions weren't perfect, of course, straw is not produced for construction purposes. So that means it needs some physical manipulation. Another way of saying that is that it's imperfect. But that imperfection that's what partly attracted our clients, because it meant that they didn't need to get things accurate to an eighth of an inch in order for them to function. And yet it could still look great and do what they wanted it to do, which is the other part of the reason that clients in the early years were interested in us. And that was that just using straw bale alone, if all other parts of the building were reasonably consistent with ordinary norms, that you'd result in a building that was 20 to 30% more energy efficient than its conventional peers, and much more comfortable, both in terms of temperature, but also in terms of humidity. That is the thing, of course, that affects how we our bodies interpret temperature. So I'd say an early primary motivation was the ability for owner builders to be involved in that direct way, and then followed by this improvement in energy efficiency. I'd say, though, that's changed, or at least it's evolving, and that in addition to those interests, now there's a strong awareness that not only is this something that can reduce our carbon footprint in terms of operating energy, and we certainly build even to a much higher level than just the 20 or 30% over our conventional peers that used to be good enough, but moreover, in using materials like straw, we can actually be sequestering carbon in construction, so that the homes that we're prospectively the homes that we're constructing are prospectively not only being less damaging, but actually potentially beneficial to the climate.
So I guess it takes less energy to heat a straw bale home, like they don't cool as much as regular homes?
Absolutely, yeah. It's less to heat. Rare is it that people put in air conditioners, because it also keeps them cool during the summer months. And critically, now that there's more building science, there's more data on the impacts of the building materials themselves and their life cycle, as I was mentioning a moment ago, what it can actually mean is at the day that you move in, we can actually have created a negative carbon account. That is, the home could be sequestering more carbon than the total carbon or total energy inputs in constructing it.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And what about the durability and the longevity of a straw bale home? Is it the same as typical homes?
Yeah, well, you can be thankful that it's not the same, because, of course, conventional homes are built with materials that are petrochemical based and lots of adhesives and other things that are effectively degrading from the moment that they're constructed. And if we could somehow come back here in another century's time and look at some of the modern subdivisions that are going up, a good many of those homes will not be economically viable to be occupied anymore, either because they weren't built to the costs of energy that are projected at that point, or the materials themselves are just not designed for that kind of longevity. By contrast, most of the oldest buildings in the world are natural buildings. That is, that they used clay, often straw, certainly aggregate like sand, gravel, stone, things that don't degrade significantly over time. And so, yes, the question that you ask is common, and people are surprised when my response is that it's a good thing that it's not the same as conventional construction, because it's going to significantly outlive the homes that are built with conventional materials. Having said all that, while we are known for straw bale building, we also do build homes using conventional materials, but we're much more selective about those manufactured materials that we use. And we construct often in a way in which parts can be disassembled easily and reassembled for future maintenance and repair, and to ensure the future proofing or longevity of those homes.
Mm-hmm. So how much additional longevity does a straw bale home have? Are we talking like 10 years, 20 years, 30 years?
I think you could be measuring it in centuries.
Oh, wow.
The exterior shell is effectively, it's a matrix of of straw and plaster and lime and Portland cement. It has very little in the way of maintenance requirements, and has centuries of life in it, so long as the basic maintenance is overseen over that time.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of like construction, do you take straw and mix it with other materials to make it into bricks? Is that how it works?
So that there are, we have constructed or worked on a couple of buildings where something similar to what you just described is the building method. The method that's more common for us can be described as this, and this would be a really simplified way to describe what straw bale building usually is. And it's kind of like if you imagine just building with giant Lego or giant bricks. They're laid on top of one another in the same way as bricks would be, that is, in a running bond where the joint of one course is not aligned with the joint of the course below. But rather than putting mortar between each of those bricks, or in this case bales, what happens is the straw gets stacked up to the elevation that's necessary for the ceiling of a second story or of the roof. A rigid wooden top plate is placed on top of the straw, and then a continuous stucco netting or mesh is applied to both the interior face and the exterior face of these of this now stacked straw bale wall system. Then, if you and I were working on it, Salman, what would happen is I'd hand you a giant, what would look like a giant darning needle, and you would pass that through the wall, which will carry with it some baling twine. And these baling twine pieces are, they have a tensile strength of between 6,000 and 7,000 pounds. And you and I would pass this back and forth and basically stitch the wall. And what would happen then is now this interior mesh would be stitched with a whole series of 6,000 pound test twines to the opposite mesh through the straw. And that now has turned those individual straw bales into basically one monolithic bale over the whole size, whole span of the building. But it doesn't stop there. We then would apply either an earthen or a lime or a cementitious based plaster that will embed itself not only into the straw, but around that mesh that we've applied. And because the mesh on one face of the wall is attached to the face of the other side of the wall, so too then is effectively this plaster tied structurally or physically inside to outside. And what that does from in engineering speak is it creates what's known as a stressed skin panel, where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. The structural strength of that wall system is understood to be about 10 times laterally, that is under wind loads or something extreme like a tornado or even an earthquake, 10 times stronger than a typical conventional 2x6 frame wall. That's how people would build ordinarily here in Ontario. And about 4 times stronger in terms of vertical loads, that is placing an extra story on top or whatever heavy components that that wall needs to carry. So stronger, more efficient, uses locally available materials that are fairly unprocessed and sequesters carbon. It's almost too good to be true, which often means that it isn't so. So there is one major trade-off, and that is maybe two. One is there aren't enough of us who know how to build in this fashion, so more people wish to do it than actually can get it done in Ontario. I'd say the bigger issue, though, regardless of how many builders there might in the future be, is that it is a more weather dependent method of construction. And of course, the seasonality of construction in general here would at this point limit the ease with which the homes would be built in situ. It would be hard to be building on site through all seasons in this manner if that's what everybody was intending to do.
So what is the ideal weather to build these? Is it summer, winter, spring?
Yeah, the shoulder seasons are really ideal, but that's also just from a personal perspective, that it's pretty grotesquely hot some summer days, especially in recent years. But the plaster itself also cures best at a moderate temperature, somewhere in a 10 to 20 degree temperature range with high humidity is ideal. Of course, we don't get a whole lot of days that are consistently that. So our real limit then, where we ought not work or where it becomes more difficult, is the plaster can't be applied below -5 Celsius without significant sheltering and artificial heat applied to the building.
So how many months does it take away from the year for construction?
Well, you know, when I first started doing this 20 years ago, I would have said 4 months pretty easily, but we've been able to plaster more recently until December 22nd. If the weather behavior and the climate change continues to persist in the way we're seeing, maybe that's only down to 8 or 10 or 12 weeks of deferral of work.
So you can still construct for like 9 months of the year? You can still do construction?
For certain. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So that's still a big portion of the year you have.
It is.
You have at your disposal. Are straw bale homes more expensive to build than regular homes? Like, I'm trying to think, why is this not the convention?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, in North America, we've become really accustomed to paying fairly little in relative terms for housing, and then paying a significant premium by way of having to throw a whole lot of energy at it, a whole lot of gas, natural gas or propane or cords of wood or electricity, whatever that may be. But we're paying for that environmentally and in terms of climate. So that externalized cost is partly what's keeping the cost, the direct to you consumer cost of construction down. Yes, straw bale building increases that initial capital outlay, but you will recover that in terms of the reduction in your own personal energy expenditures over time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe said differently, it has a neutral cost of ownership, but that's different than saying, does it cost less to build or buy?
Mm-hmm.
But that's because the builders are not normally concerned about the operating cost to you or I as an occupant, but you ought to be, we ought to be. So if we did and knew how to be able to project the math of our operating cost plus our cost of a mortgage, our homes don't cost more. In fact, I can quite often demonstrably show that ours will cost less over the period of time of your mortgage, but you pay a little bit more upfront for a better building in order to avoid paying over and over and over and over again to the utilities for heating and cooling energy.
Yeah. So in terms of like the initial purchase price gap, are we talking about like 25 to 50K, 50 to 100K in the difference in initial price?
So in this industry, my colleagues that do similar work as us would suggest that it's an incremental cost of about 10%. I'm not sure that it's always precisely that. It's probably sometimes less and certainly sometimes more. But that's a figure that is commonly cited.
Mm-hmm. 10%. So 10% more than a conventional home.
Correct. Yeah.
If it's a bit higher, maybe 15% or so. I guess there is the benefit in your lower operational costs and also the longevity of the house, and perhaps if there is some kind of ease of maintenance, those factors play out over time and make the house more affordable.
That's right. Yep. All of those things.
Mm-hmm. So since you started building these straw bale homes, how many have you constructed and which parts of Canada?
Yeah. So we've mostly restricted ourselves to working in Ontario, though that's not wholly true. I'm not certain. I think we've probably worked on about 70, 75 such homes, maybe more now, but we haven't counted in a number of years. And in terms of where we have built them, so in addition to homes, we have worked on institutional buildings. So locally to here, there are two school portables that we have built for the Upper Grand District School Board, one that resides at the Westwood Public School in Guelph, and the other one is at Rockwood Public School in Rockwood. And in addition to that, we've built some permanent school structures that reside in Orangeville and Minto Township, and where else? And in Fergus. And then we've also constructed portable structures with straw that we've delivered even more distantly. So Ottawa, which is, I suppose, far enough, but if you can imagine this, we've shipped some as far as Northern California.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. So you're a client of Innovation Guelph. Can you talk about how you got involved with Innovation Guelph and how they helped your business grow?
Yeah, we've had two programs that we've proceeded with Innovation Guelph. The most recent aided us in a marketing of, I was going to say a pivot, but that's not precisely true. It's more that we wanted to expand our access to the renovation and addition market in order to have more small scale projects that weren't seasonally driven. So to the point that we were talking about before about straw bale, at least having a period of time in the year, the calendar year, when it's harder to construct. We wanted to be able to make sure that we were consistent with cash flow and workflow for our staff. And targeting existing homeowners who aren't going to make the leap to something like straw bale building or to conventional construction to a highly efficient level, but have their own existing homes in neighborhoods that they love and places that they want to stay but need to make more suitable for themselves. So we've decided that we wanted to develop a marketing plan on how to access, how to acquire and promote ourselves to people with existing homes that were interested in renovation, but at the same time, they were feeling some concern about the impact of their decision environmentally, or the impact of their decision in terms of their own occupant health. So yes, we developed a plan around which to promote ourselves into that market, specifically in Kitchener, Waterloo, and Guelph.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Did you receive any funding or grants from the government for your company?
No. From Innovation Guelph, there was a contribution, but nothing external to that.
Okay. All right. Perfect. So how has your business been affected by recent events, and what's your plan for the next 12 months?
Yeah. So when COVID first sort of arrived and the initial shutdown took place last year, our industry was declared among those that were essential and allowed to continue. That being said, our staff, I chatted with them and polled them as to how they were feeling. And because things were, as you might recall, so much more uncertain, especially from an exposure and a health perspective, a good number of our staff felt like while the industry is declared essential, it seemed like that was a little bit like we were peons being thrown at their rich masters and effectively being forced to continue to work. And by those masters, I don't mean our clients, I just mean sort of society at large. And so a number of our staff were feeling really concerned about going to work and the risk that that would mean to them, their families, and so on. So I approached our clients and said, you know, we have a lot of discomfort here. I recognize that we're we're permitted to continue work, but we'd really like to be able to take some time away. And to, I'm really thankful that our clients all understood what our team felt. And so we idled most of our projects for about 5 or 6 weeks before the sentiment on our team changed. It became clearer that there might be ways that we would be able to operate, I'll say safely, or at least as safely as we could understand at that time. And, you know, in the construction trades, we're always needing to be considering hazards and health. And so this was, for us, not a dramatic change in operational methodology. It just meant that there were new procedures that we had to implement. So our team then decided and asked them to be able to return to work. Our clients, of course, were happy for that to happen. But in all those intervening weeks, jobs that we had not yet started, a good many of our clients, 70% actually, of the value of the work we intended to do last year, those clients no longer felt economically safe to proceed with the work that was planned. So that, as you can imagine, put a pretty big hole in our workload for the year. We managed to creep that back up to just a 50% reduction year over year. But it has meant that we've been doing a lot of work that was lower value, lower dollar value, lower margin, in order to ensure that we keep our people employed and together. But that, just from a business person's perspective, what that means is, well, that this is going to be a bad year financially. I at the same time made a decision and advised our team that we had had a couple of good years prior, and that I was wholly comfortable and intending to use the reserves that we had built up to ensure that nobody on our team would have to feel as though their job was highly at risk. And in fact, of our 25 or so full-time members, we have basically virtually the entire team still intact, because I committed to making sure that they were still in work and found some kind of work for them to do, whether it was well-paying or not. We just kept finding, scrounging things to keep it going. And that's going to serve us really well going into this year, notwithstanding that we're entering yet another state of emergency. I think all of us have line of sight to what it's going to look like on the other side, and that this is a temporary measure and that things will resume once more. And I'm not seeing the same disruption in terms of our client interest. So by having made that commitment to our staff, to our team, we basically are ready to springboard into a really active 2021.
All right, that's pretty amazing. Well, Ben, it has been nice speaking with you, learning about yourself and also about Evolve Builders and Straw Bale Homes. So thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And you want to share your website? How can people find you?
Sure. They can find us at evolvebuilders.ca or at our Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn sites.
All right, perfect. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode and you get a chance to learn about Ben and also Evolve Builders and the great innovative homes they build using straw and other materials. And if you need more information, you can visit their website. And thank you so much for listening to Zonecast, and stay tuned for more episodes.